Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the podcast, Something to Believe In. My name is Steve Roberts. I'm joined by my better co-host, Allie Bills. And we have a special guest today who we will get very in-depth with, Mr. James, also known as the Iron Cowboy. We just want to thank everybody for joining. The weather here, we're coming live from Pleasant Grove in the Pleasant Grove office.
Yep.
The weather is a little bit, last time we did this, Allie.
Unfortunately, we had to skip a month because we had a little
hiccup,
and it feels like it's been way too long since we've gotten together with you, but so long that the seasons have changed. Yes,
they
definitely
have changed. We're starting to see snow on the mountains and definitely starting to bust out the winter gear. But we have a lot of new people on here, and we wanted to kind of remind everybody why we're doing this and what the purpose of this is. And it isn't to make to get on TV because it's just as uncomfortable today as it was the first time we did this.
Although Steve did say, how do I get on TV? And so we decided to do the podcast. But it really isn't for that reason alone.
Yeah,
so.
Well, you know, makeup and
he likes putting on makeup. That's the truth.
The real reason for doing this is really to get out in front of everybody and to share what's going on in the world and to make the world a better place and things we can do personally, professionally, just to be better. Better to ourselves, better to one another, better as a whole. And I think we've done that. We've had some very, very interesting conversations on the podcast, and we want to continue that, and we appreciate your support. And, again, we still would like your input at podcast@intercaplending.com to kind of guide us on what you'd like us to talk about or what we can address to help you be a better self.
So. Over the past couple months, we've done some different challenges. We try to leave every month with a challenge so that we can be more unified and kind of be working on similar goals as we're in different places. Obviously, we're a national company. We're growing, and we have a lot of people working remote from home. And since COVID, we just felt like this was a great opportunity to find a way to reunite as well as a company and just get on the same page, be thinking about some of the same things, and feel like we're all growing and progressing together. And using those challenges to do that. So it's been really fun to see the participation. And again, we want more ideas. We want to come up with some things that you guys want to do. So it's not just us thinking that we're running this train. We're all in it together, and we'd love your feedback. But we'll keep plugging along, and we do appreciate those that have commented and added some things because we plan to do this for a while.
Yeah, for sure. And we love the energy and the passion and the emotion. So thank you for your support. Allie, tell us a story.
So before we get into the best part of this podcast today, this last weekend I had a chance to go to an event that was back in Atlanta and sat down with one of the top, most prolific female entrepreneurs, and that's Sarah Blakely. She started Spanx. She started Spanx with $5,000 in her pocket and never took 1 cent from an investor, and she just sold it for over $1 billion. And this was her baby. I mean, she put everything into it. And she said a couple of things that I think are really good to think about. The first is that it's really important not to just dream, but to dream specific. And a lot of times we have this idea in mind of what we want, but we need to know what it looks like. We need to know the color of it, what it smells like, how it feels, and to be as specific as possible. We all have a different way of receiving energy, inspiration, revelation, however you want to use it, but we have to know what we're going after. We have to ask for it. And she said that she dreams specific. And she started out selling faxes for 7 years. She said most people were smarter than her and stopped after 6 months because she would sell a fax to someone they'd have no one to fax to. That's how new faxes were. And so she just said it taught her that that was the wrong story for her. And it was time to write a new story for her life. But she had a work ethic. She had an ability to sell, and she created a dream that allowed her to use her strength, which was selling, and to solve problems for people that maybe they didn't even know they had. Spanx is an underclothing for women. It doesn't show lines. It makes us feel tight and skinny.
And
now it is for men as well, and it's evolved. The other thing she added to that, and I think it's really important, is that we need to spend – he's excited about his things that he owns. We know this.
Them.
and men, by the way,
yeah.
is that we need to take time to allow for ourselves, but not so we can go through the checklist of life. We need to allow time for our minds to wander. And that is when we get the answers. If we have a specific dream and we give our minds time to wander, that's how we're getting answers for the questions. So whether it's through prayer, whether it's sending out energy, that law of attraction, it's goodwill. Really important, goodwill, to make sure that you're paying attention to what's coming back to you, but also our creativity. Everybody's minds wander, and sometimes we don't take the time to see where our minds can take us.
You know, it's funny. I don't know her personally. I just know of her through living with the CEO of the book.
Her husband?
Her husband. Mm-hmm. And she's often referenced in there, some of the things.
She's incredible. She definitely is brilliant and has some special talents, but she's very down to earth, very real, and has been able to stay really vulnerable with her customers and clientele and stay just show the human side of everything, and that's why she's stayed relevant and she's continued to evolve over time. And so, I think talking about evolution and continuing to grow when things are changing, I think it leads really into why we're here today.
For sure.
And
exciting day.
That growth and evolving and constantly wanting to do more and do better and believing in yourself and having a specific dream. Mm-hmm. So.
And many of us had the opportunity. I call you Mr. Iron. I like the Iron Cowboy. It just sounds awesome. I almost wore my cowboy hat. Couldn't find it this morning. But anyway, Jane spoke to us, to our company, a while back, and a lot of people were very moved. It was probably one of the most talked about talks we've had within the organization. And I still think about it. And so I'm super excited to be able to share this podcast with James today. I'll let my better half take on the show here. Take it away.
Well, James and I go back quite a ways. I don't know. I mean, a long time, and I can't even remember how we actually met. We've just known each other.
2010.
A really long time. 2010.
That's a long time.
And as far as the evolution of everything, I'll just say behind, every good man is an incredible woman. And his wife, Sunny's here with us today and is a big driver in his success. But, no one can make anyone do anything. There is a part of James that is different, that is broken. And she inspires him every day. And we'll get to a couple of questions where Sunny is a very important part of his success. And like he said, she can make him do things. And I think there's a powerful point in that, because maybe when he wants to quit or has doubt, she doesn't let him go that route. And there's a big part of teamwork in that. But James has always just been someone that he's different. He's built different. But he's human. He's doing things that anyone can do, but he's just allowed himself to go beyond the limits. He's had a lot of opportunity to learn about himself, not just during his races, but after. And that's probably where you learn the most. I mean, he can tell you, but I've always been so impressed with James and Sunny, and I say them together all the time because they're not the same without the other. And they have an incredible family. They're always involved in the community. They're very real. They haven't allowed these experiences to take them to an untouchable place. I mean, they're here with us today, and James is very busy, and he's very expensive, and yet he's really willing to share his story and to stay connected to the people in his life. So thank you.
That was kind.
Before we get in, well, actually, I'm just going to get into the first question, and the big part is we want someone on here. We're finishing the quarter, we're finishing a year. But you don't just finish a year end. I mean, you're already preparing for the next year. And so before we dive into kind of what makes James who he is and how we can pull from that and better ourselves from that, as you close out this year, James, what have you done to make sure this year finishes stronger? What have you planned for next year so that you're not just like...
Well, that's interesting. New Year's is a big cultural thing, and it's one of the most frustrating days and holidays for me, only because people get re-energized, re-motivated, inspired, whatever you want to call it, and then they kick off. And for me, about 12 weeks ago, I said, I don't want the turn of the year to be a kickoff. I want to skyrocket momentum. And so I'm actually using these last 2 months out of the year to really hone in on what I'm doing, like you said, specific dreaming. And then I'm putting in place some great routines in order to set me up, because I don't want to start January 1. I want to be running on January 1, looking back saying, can you keep up with what we're doing? Because I'm not just starting today. We've been going and we're always going. So I treat every day like it's January 1.
I love that. Someone asked the other day, like, what do you want to feel when January 1st starts? What emotion do you want to feel? Do you want to be happy? Do you want to feel energetic? Do you want to feel healthy? It doesn't start January 1st to have that feeling. What are you doing today so that come January 1, that's the emotion that you're carrying with you into the new year?
I often reference that. It's funny that if you want to go to the gym and you want to change, January 2 is not the parking lot's full.
Yeah.
The day to do it is like January 2, because everyone's given by then.
Yeah, the time is now. It's January 24th. But here's the thing is, so again,
and January comes around, everybody's all excited, and everybody says, okay, this year I want more time, better relationship, more money, bigger house, this nice car. They know all these things, and they can list them out easy. And I guarantee if you took a poll of everybody in the room, everyone's going to say the top five things, it's always the same. Between now and the end of the year, I challenge everyone to not put on paper what you want, put on paper what you're willing to sacrifice in order to get it. Because that's the big difference. That's the paradigm shift. That's the different way of thinking. Everybody knows what they want. But do you know what you're willing to sacrifice in order to have and achieve that? That's the paradigm shift that people need to have.
So I find that interesting because I think everybody, we live in a society where we want
now.
Right now, whether it's personal or business. Even in business, change, right? And think, well, I'm going to give it a week, and I want to see immediate results.
It's the most entertaining thing to me in the fitness space because it takes somebody years on a slippery slope to get where they are, and they wake up one day and they go, oh, man, how did I get here? Right? That's a whole other topic on how you got there. But then it's so frustrating. They're like, I went to the gym every day this week, and I've been eating right, and the scale hasn't moved. Okay, well, perfect. You're creating a habit. You're developing discipline. It took you 5 years to get here. Let's take 2, 3, 4, 5 years to get back, maintain it, and allow this to be a forever thing, a change, right? This may be contrary to what people say, but, like, dude, don't start unless you're ready to full-on make a change, because you're just wasting your time, you're wasting your money and everything. Like, when you're ready, commit, and then just stay the course and go with it.
Well, you said when you're ready, and I think a lot of people talk about this change all the time, and they do make the change when they're ready. It's like, I tried for 5 years. It's like, you actually tried for 3 months. Like,
yeah.
Like you finally committed 3 months ago to make a change. You just wanted to for the last 5 years. And so being ready is really the key.
Well, and the biggest piece too is, don't make the changes in your life for somebody else. It has to be for you. And because if you're doing it for someone else, now an outlier may start doing it for someone else and they catch it, they understand, they get it, and then they continue on the journey. But you can bring a horse to water, but you cannot make it drink. And so you know, it's just like with our kids and parenting. Sonny and I live in a way that we try to set an example for them on how to live and operate and in all types of environments, and we set that expectation. And then we allow them to choose how they're going to navigate and choose which style they're going to live.
So we're going to go back and just kind of talk about, you know, pre-5K. And
pre-5K world?
Pre-5K world. So James didn't just, like, come out of the womb. Yeah.
You know what running is, don't you?
He didn't come out of the womb, like, as a triathlete. You know, this was something that he started later in his life and was introduced to it all by Sonny. And so he went from, you know, 5K to an Ironman to these ultra runs. And really the beauty of endurance training and running is it's a marathon, not a sprint. So you can expect immediate gratification. It takes time. You have to work through it. And it's through those weakest moments you find your greatest strengths. And that's something that's super fulfilling about the endurance space. And I've tapped into it like this much, you know, and love it for that reason. But James, maybe talk about that journey of, you know, all of a sudden you decided to do something physical and then it took you to the Ironman and then it's taking you here.
Yeah, I think maybe a lot of people don't know where here is. And last year we, as a family, set out on a very unique journey and did 100 consecutive Ironmans over 100 days. So it's 140.6 miles. So it's a 2.4-mile swim, 112-mile bike, full marathon run. Every day, 140.6 miles, no days off, quarter of a year. And just to put that time frame into perspective, wake up every single day, do 14 to 17 hours of physical activity from Thanksgiving to Valentine's Day. I just think of all the things in your life that happens in that time period. And a lot of people think, oh, okay, he's done today. He gets to go sleep and rest and recover. It's 24 hours a day of chaos because as soon as you stop, you're now refueling, you're now recovering, you're now, you know, neurological. There's so much that happens that it's a 24-hour effort for a quarter of a year.
And it's unfathomable, honestly. If you do one Ironman, to do it day after day, it's unfathomable.
Well, thanks.
And that's why no one else has ever done it.
Yeah, it's upside. The thing is, too, is what people don't realize, it's the compounding effect, which back to what we were just talking about, the compounding effect of going to the gym, those small increments, that compounding effect turns into big, massive results. Same thing in a negative aspect, the compounding effect of 140 miles a day is traumatic and impactful. One of my favorite stories is how this journey began, and I can always go back and say, look, Sonny Joe, this is your fault. You're the one that started this journey and kick-started the whole thing. Because it did. On Thanksgiving, here locally, there's a four-mile fun run. And Sonny was like, hey, we should go do the four-mile fun run. And I'm like, you said fun and run in the same sentence. That's stupid. But that's what kind of kicked off the journey. And ultimately, I struggled, literally struggled through 4 miles. And she lovingly told me I was pathetic and signed me up for a marathon, said, figure it out. We did that marathon together. I was wrecked, and she was fine the next day. And then I just found triathlon, and we started to get into the community and do it together and just fell in love with it. And I love to talk about a concept of you can't go from zero to 100, meaning the 100 Ironmans, without hitting the milestones and the benchmarks along the way. And for me, the first benchmark was that four-mile fun run that I struggled through. And in my stage presentation, I talk about every journey has a humble beginning. And that was my humble beginning. But everybody's looking around on social media today and everybody's posting their best moments and this exciting thing. And so we're like, I'm not an expert. I'm not good enough. I shouldn't start. And then we start to get some imposter syndrome and all these different things. And so a huge message that we try to get out in the world is like, just start. Start today. And it's okay. Everybody has a beginning. And there's a hilarious picture of me in my very first ever triathlon. I've got a nose plug on. I'm in a pool. I'm gripping at the side of the edge. I'm gasping for air. And nobody would have looked at that person in that moment and said, that person right there is going to go on and set multiple Guinness World Records. That image is going to be someone who is one of 7 billion people in the world and has done something that nobody else has done. And I could have done it in that moment. But that was the spark that said, that image doesn't define me. And now I get to go and create whatever history I want. It's going to take time. And when I got out of that pool and finished that race, I wasn't like, 100 Ironmans, what it is, right? It was like, okay, I got to learn how to swim because I just about drowned. And I saw the world championships. I just want to do one Ironman. And as we go on that journey, show up on our journey, we learn. We grow. And all of a sudden, more becomes possible every time we achieve, every time we have success and create that momentum.
So I think a lot of people, that's it's unbelievable. I have a lot of questions, but we only have a limited amount of time. Everybody always wants to start something, and adversity kicks in, plan takes over, and then usually just give up. Did that go through your head? I mean, does it still go through your head? Do you still fight those things? What goes on upstairs there?
I mean, number one question I get as I tour around the world is, how do I become more mentally tough? And the biggest observation that I've had by talking to people is that as humans, we're getting in our own way. We're stuck. We are the reason that we're limiting ourselves. And the only way to become more mentally tough is through experience. And so you can't listen right now to us have a conversation. You can't read a book. You can't watch a documentary. That can spark something, right? That'll move you to take an action. But it's only through action that leads to an experience that changes you. And then that's what gives you that belief. I love it when the bully inside my head comes out because it tells me I'm pushing a limit. I'm achieving, I'm on my way to something. If that bully isn't chirping at me, I'm not alive. I'm not doing something great enough on my journey to find my potential if he's silent. And so I actually love it. I want him to come out and start to criticize me and try to get in my way. No, well, it's only through action and experience. So I grew up in Canada, loved sports, don't have any brothers, and so just like latched onto teams at my school and did every single sport, eventually fell in love with wrestling and just wrestled for 7 years. And I believe that's where my journey began of mental toughness. Because when you're the newest member on the wrestling mat, you get destroyed, and then you have to make a decision, okay, why and how did I just get beat like that? And then you start to develop this tenacity or drive that you want to overcome to beat that person. Because I love individual sports, right? Like I love triathlon, I love golf, I love wrestling. Because if I win or if I lose,
it's on you.
It's my fault. Yeah. I can't kick it out to Jordan, right? And have him do his thing and then like raise the trophy with him, right? So I love individual sports that like, hey, I'm winning, it's my fault, or I'm losing, it's also my fault, right? And I think that's where my drive started, was in those wrestling days. And then just I learned to continue to show up. And then, you know, once you achieve something, it opens up possibility and potential.
So let's dive into that part. So he says, just start something, just go do something. And that hard is different for everybody, and your hard evolves.
Yep.
And, you know, you become addicted to hard. You do. If you do any endurance thing or you participate, I mean, we had Josh on a few months ago, and we saw his summer at a glance, and it was one hard challenge after another. You don't do it if you don't walk away from there feeling better about yourself. There is something super fulfilling about doing something hard and overcoming it, and that's why we put you in the cold water and all those things that James loves, the cold water. But it is. It's fulfilling when you do hard things. And so James has tapped into these experiences, and he's like, if I want an exceptional life, I'm going to do exceptional things. And before the 100, he did 50 Ironman in 50 states in 50 days. Logistically, a nightmare. And he did it. You know, and it was probably harder than the 100 in a different way. And yet it prepared him to take on the next challenge. And then he does this, and what's the first question everyone asks? What's next? You know? And in James' mind, too. But there's a lot your body goes through in those things. But what is it about the hard that you are addicted to? Is it self-fulfillment? Is it?
I think the hard is, to me, is an opportunity. In life, we're either just moving forward and progressing, or we're slipping backwards. And I don't believe we're ever just standing still. And I love this sequence where it says, if you seek comfort today, you will eventually be uncomfortable because the choice is going to be taken away from you. Options and luxuries are going to be taken away from you because you seek out comfort in the moment. But if you intentionally seek discomfort and challenge yourself, then you have options and can be comfortable whenever you want, and it opens up a beautiful life. And so for me, I'm continually, you're never number one, you're never on the top. That's not what it's about. It's a constant pursuit and a moving target. And so for me, I'm just like, I think I'd really be bored if I wasn't progressing and challenging. And we just had an experience where an individual came and lived with us and was really struggling. And it was fascinating to watch because watching him, I wanted to be better. Like his complacency fired me up and was like, no, I can do more because I don't want that, because he was seeking comfort that was ultimately leading to discomfort and a bad path. And so and Sonny's the ultimate example of just like consistency, showing up, routine, discipline. No, this is challenging. I'm going to gut it out. I'm going to go through it. Because it helps me to learn and grow. You take a look at when the pandemic hit and take a look around your immediate circle and people that are around you. You can instantly isolate the people that hadn't done anything intentionally uncomfortable in their lives because they really struggled to navigate that. And then you could take a look around your circle and go, man, they were prepared mentally for that moment. And that's why you do hard things intentionally, because we can't predict when chaos is going to happen. And that's when you need to be ready. You can't be ready in the moment when chaos hits if you haven't prepared yourself. So you got to be ready for when it happens, and then you can navigate it with ease.
I think that's excellent. Excellent.
You know, a lot of people talk about this fear of failure, and it's the limiting beliefs to why we don't get into things. And the other day someone said, you know, we sit at the dinner table and we ask our kids every day what they failed at that day. So we take fear of failure off the table, and then we encourage them to go try things where they might fail. And, you know, you haven't been successful at every single thing. You know, you can't control with your body, but failing, you know, is relative, right? Like, if you can't finish a race because of an injury, but, you know, you're calling your daughter laying on the ground to get up and keep going, there's so many wins in the process of doing things that you might not succeed in regard to the finish line. But it's the growth in the process. So maybe you can talk about, you know, the, not just the wins, but the failures that have helped you to keep going, and why that shouldn't be a fear, but more of a.
Yeah, to me, failure is a direct reflection of your preparation. And so it's a good indication of, okay, where was my preparation? Did I give it everything I had? And then it's an opportunity to dissect and learn on where I maybe made a misstep. I don't necessarily believe, I don't believe that people fail. I believe that people quit. And when they quit, it's because they were looking for a reason or an opportunity to, or an excuse. And then you made a decision to quit. And before you start anything, you should say, okay, what are the parameters that would allow me to quit? Because when you're in the middle of it, emotion overwhelms you, and then that dictates the decision process. And that's never a good direction to go. So you want to be pre-planned with, okay, what are the exact parameters that I would be okay in stopping or quitting? I believe our team is so successful is because we have a discovery mentality. And what I mean by that is we're always looking for a solution to navigate through it. And I see a lot of people fail because they're so rigid on how they're going to get to destination A, and they're not open to the flow of things. Because when we first contrived an idea and how we were going to get there, doesn't mean that was the right path to go, because we didn't have the knowledge and experience that we have as we're going down the path. We didn't and hadn't met the people that we were going to ultimately meet that we attracted on our journey. And so I think people need to be open to how they get there. And then as they, again, they're not misstepping, they're pivoting. They're not failing, they're pivoting on what they're, on what's ever changing. And our team has become experts and become master problem solvers. And we continue to chip away at the problem until we find the solution to allow us to continue.
So when that change happened, because I'm sure there was a lot of changes, a lot of pivots, a lot of different misdirection.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people tend to go sideways mentally. It's like, oh gosh, I had this plan. I'm guilty of that. This is my plan. This is what I want to do. And then the minute something happens, oh my gosh, now I'm offline. That plan gets pushed aside. How do you navigate that?
Just your experience and having a willingness to adapt. And a lot of times, I hope this doesn't offend you, but it's ego that gets in the way of the original plan. And sometimes we have to put away our okay. That plan that I had contrived in my head isn't the right one. And I need to pivot and allow some humility to come in and admit that that wasn't the right path. And I'm learning and growing. Right, it's absolutely okay. 100%. I just get so frustrated watching endurance athletes that set out to do something. And you can just tell watching them and the language that they're using. They're waiting for the someone to give them permission to quit. And I think that's why it's so important on who you surround yourself with and the mentality that they have. And, again, that's why our team is so successful. We have bought into our mentality that, no, we don't quit. It may not look exactly like we initially thought it was, but we're going to figure it out and navigate how to get to where we originally set up to be.
So if you guys followed his 100, at the end of day one, he's laying on the grass thinking 99 more, you know? And in the process of doing 100, you don't train for the 100. Like, you get in shape as you're doing it because you would wear your body out. You'd break before you got there to train for 100.
You can't train for 100-day events.
So he's getting in better shape as he goes along. But a couple days ago, James posted something that I just thought was fascinating. And if you talk to multiple endurance athletes, very few can do this. But when he is in an endurance race, he's not positive self-talking. He's not pushing negative. James thinks of what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Can you do that? Seriously, try to think of nothing. But, you know, sometimes all our energy is on trying to be positive or it's trying to this and that, but he thinks of nothing. Tell us about
that. To be honest, you have to have a bag of tricks in order to be successful at anything you do at the highest of levels. And I have certain strategies depending on how bad or dire it is. And for me, always the first one is our minds will always go dark, into a dark place, a negative place, and then we get to choose whether we focus on that and spiral and sit there for a long time or shift the thoughts, shift the energy. So for me, my always first go-to once that conversation starts to happen, I start to go dark, is to shift it to positive memories in my life, happy things. And everybody can, like, you should prepare yourself for those moments and write down your top three happiest moments in your life. And then in those moments, start to visualize them, take you through there. And that can help shift, right? Motion creates emotion. And so, and thought also changes how we feel. And so if you can start thinking different, you'll start to feel different. If you can start to move different, you can feel different. But when it gets really bad and that's not working, you have to have the ability to just completely go blank. And you can only completely go blank and progress if you have experience and knowledge on what the activity of progression is, because now you have to do it unconsciously. And so you have to be so good at your craft that you can be unconsciously conscious and moving through it. And when you can check out, trust me, there was moments on the 100 where I had to check out that I don't remember. But I could progress because I'm an expert in my craft. And I was on autopilot in terms of forward motion in what we were doing. There's a lot of days that I don't remember how we got from here to here and ultimately to the finish because I had to check out and think of that. It's really quiet in here.
Well, I'm trying to see how that's even possible.
I mean, just how powerful we are as humans, and we don't tap into our potential and what we're capable of, and we're afraid to. I mean, he tapped into a very scary place, obviously. I mean, you don't want to not know where you are, how you get from place to place, but there's moments in our life where you do get subconscious, and you're like, don't remember driving.
I was just going to say, have you ever driven somewhere and got to there, and you're like, how'd I get?
And tapping into that subconscious part of you and allowing you to use your skills, your preparation to get you to the next place is incredible. And that's where you're the most successful, too, because you do limit all of those limiting beliefs and all of those things.
My wife asks me all the time, what are you thinking about? Nothing.
He's just practicing when it gets hard.
Yeah, I'm preparing.
I mean, he likes it hard.
I think it's just something men do.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I'm not alone there.
Well, we could ask a lot more questions, but I want to just – two things is I want to just talk about – you talked about your team and just the value of your team and how important it is to surround yourself in your life with people that not only, like, are your biggest fans, you know, and aren't jealous of what you're accomplishing. They help you get there. They care about you, but And I think of Sunny, too. I mean, you're out there and you are miserable and half aware and maybe even sleeping on your bike, which has happened. And Sunny's the first one to say, suck it up, finish. And it's not being mean and it's not being heartless. She knows what you're capable of. But surrounding yourself with people, you know, at home, in work, that do that for you.
I think it's so powerful to create those relationships, to have those people in your life. I mean, Sunny and I are about to celebrate 22 years of marriage, and I gave her full authority that says, okay, look, anytime if you feel, because I get out, you know, I go to my I think nothing place, and I get asked this question all the time, is one, how hard was it for her to watch you do that? I can only imagine it was hard, but two, did she ever try to step in and stop you because she thought it was dangerous? And we had conversations beforehand, like, look, if you feel that we've crossed the line and we need to stop, do it. And if you asked her right now, she would say, I was never close. Because we've developed that bond, that relationship, she knows me better than anybody else. She also knows what I'm capable of. She knows what our team is capable of. You know, you said, can I call you Mr. Cowboy? And I'm like, no, it's just James, because my team's not here and we're the Iron Cowboy. That's a very different way to approach things, but She was never close, and I can only imagine how difficult it was to run her role where she has to run all the logistics, be super strong, do all the family stuff, watch me suffer, deal with my irrational behaviors and multiple personalities and all those things. And so without Sunny, none of this happens, and we truly are a team. And even our kids have learned and grown so much on this journey, and they've been with us the entire time. The 100 was a culmination of 15 years of discipline and sacrifice and hard work and a lot of lessons learned.
Did you feel during that process, or even now, in terms of who we surround ourselves with, being surrounded by some of the wrong people and having changed that way? Have you experienced that?
Absolutely. I tell my kids all the time, the cream rises to the top. And it may sometimes take
longer than you want it to, and in our personal journeys and also with members of our team. And I develop members on our team. Juan, Sunny, and I try to set the ultimate example for everyone. That's the expectation. And your leaders in any organization will present themselves to you, and then that's who you give your energy to and develop them. Same thing and develop. And just like with someone starting their own journey, that person has to be ready to go on that journey. I can give you all the tools and assets and everything. You do nothing with it, I'm going to move on. And I'm going to continue to surround myself with people that have that exact same mindset and mentality that we do, because that's the expectation. And we're the four horsemen. It's myself, my wife, Sunny, and the two wingmen, Casey and Aaron. And the four of us, we get it. Very different personality-wise, a mindset piece, but understanding of, hey, here's a problem. That we're going to become master problem solvers. And here's the thing, too. Like, we never want to just shove all our emotions down, be a robot, continue. The reason I believe another facet of why we were successful is because at all times, any member of our team was allowed to stop, pause, cry, kick, scream, and we allowed them to do it, but they 5 minutes. Like, and then you had to come back, and we're back to work. But we made sure we allowed those people to do it and have that moment. Every single one of us had multiple, like, not quitting, you don't need to talk me off the ledge. I just need a minute to process what's actually happening, and then we'll get back to task and we'll not. I think that's also valuable to do.
You know, James, I think, you know, you're just one in 7 billion. Is that the number?
One in 7 billion.
And I just, you know, we're really fortunate to have you here. I think that so many times we think if we progress and we become something, then we're going to have to be that person for everybody else. And as stressful as that can be, that's why we progress and grow, is so we can then give that back to everybody else. Everything you've accomplished, you found a way to turn around and inspire, motivate the stories that have come out of this, what you've done for people. James all of a sudden couldn't run the marathon. He had to walk it, which was like killed him because he felt like maybe it would be less of an accomplishment. but it allowed an entire community to join him every day and participate. And one guy I talked to had done 7 marathons, walked 7 marathons with James, and he had never walked 3 miles. He lost a ton of weight. I mean, the stories are incredible. But I think that the point is that our personal growth not only gives us an opportunity to experience these great things and grow and prepare for things, but to give back to everybody else.
I think what a lot of people miss out on is sometimes our adversity is a blessing because creates opportunity for others. And like you said, I was so frustrated because I was like, I am going to not only do 100, but I'm going to show a level of athleticism that will shock the world. And that didn't happen because it compounds, unfortunate things happen, and I developed and super long story. But me being forced to slow down was one of the greatest things that happened in the entire. Every single day without fail, somebody would say, so glad talking, because I wouldn't have been able to come and experience this with you and have this be part of my journey fast. And so it became one of the greatest, my injuries became one of the greatest blessings yeah. of the entire campaign, because it truly did bring community together. And our entire mission is to help and bless other people out of their way and overcome situations and have experiences. The level of suffering that we were at, and it allowed other people to join us and give that experience to others. So if you're experiencing something right now, it could be an absolute blessing to someone else's life. You're lucky that you get to bear that experience. That's someone else's experience of that.
Sure. Now, you became the Iron Cowboy. You will always be the Iron Cowboy.
Well,
and there's a great expectation that comes with that. And he just talked about that, is this is his happy place. You know, he's fit, he all these things. But he also has an accountability piece to that. And Sonny's no different. She's part of that team. That there's an expectation that he has to live up to. And everybody sees him, has to look like he just is ready to do another 100. You know, and that's a lot of responsibility. Maybe just show that vulnerable side of what you had to do, like what just happened as of August till now, because, and then it's just, you know, it's a good note to end on in holding ourselves accountable.
I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to, but yeah, I was like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, we, you know, everybody sees preparation, execution, and then as soon as execution is done, they move on to the next shiny object, and they maybe don't see the tumultuous aftermath that happens. And this could be an entire podcast
on itself, but mental health and cognitive therapy
and all that might, because of the intensity of what we went through, everything that we were
it was traumatic. And having to show up every single day and fight and then go through the recovery, it really taxes your nervous system. I was having extreme night terrors, full body sweats, full body convulsions. I mean, it was traumatic. And in order to do something of that magnitude on that level for that period of time, this really showcases how powerful our minds are. And my brain got stuck in fight or flight hyperdrive to where post 100, I could barely function. And on the surface, it looked like I could do simple tasks. But if I did like a podcast, I could do it and I could get through it. But the amount of energy it would take, I'd be exhausted and I'd have to go home and sleep and take the rest of the day off. And so fortunately we live in an amazing time and we have access to amazing things. And actually the world leading therapy clinic that does cognitive therapy is right here in Utah. And so I went through the whole process. They reset the neurological pathways of my brain so that I could function again. And with that comes the necessity to stop, which includes weight gain and all these things. And so 5'8", I ballooned up to 196 pounds, which on my frame is a lot. And I woke up one day and Sonny was experiencing a lot of the same things and weight gain and brain fog and confusion. Thankfully, we got her to go through the cognitive therapy as well. And together, as of this moment, we have lost 42 pounds together, back on who we authentically are, happy as we've ever been. Healthy as we've ever been, and I don't see us ever going back.
So I mean, when you spoke to me the first time, I put you on this pedestal. That this is something I was like, wow, just amazing. You showed me the pictures this morning before the podcast of that 190. And I was like, what? Wait a minute. And then I see you today. It's just amazing transformation. I guess it kind of told me that, you know what? You are human. We all go into those places, but we can all get ourselves out of it quickly by making a simple decision.
And again, it comes down to the people you surround yourself with. And Sunny started about 2 weeks, maybe a month before I did. And I just watched her, like, both of us were angry and fed up, and she kicked it off before I did. And I just watched her be so disciplined and make the sacrifice that it takes to get. Because everybody wants to lose 20 pounds, right? We all want to lose 20 pounds.
For
but
sure.
are we willing and able to sacrifice what it takes to lose those pounds? It's pretty big on Instagram and everything right now that motivation is crap and everything. And it is. It's discipline. You can be motivation to me is just a spark. I hate that I'm in the motivational speaking space. I don't want to be a motivational speaker. I believe I'm an empowering speaker. As an empowering speaker, motivation is a spark. Empowering you means I moved you to take action. And then now you get to choose if you're going to inject discipline into that and continue on your journey.
Right.
So motivation is a spark. Empowerment is a moving you to action. And then you get to take over and be disciplined. And that's what Sunny's a master at, is being disciplined, pushing through, and understanding what sacrifice truly is. And I'm just following her lead. And I'm just riding those coattails on, okay, she's doing it, I'm doing it, she's doing it, I'm doing it. And so.
And this is why they're at 22 years.
Yeah.
But
thanks for being human.
Yes, and thank you for being here. I think we want to leave with a challenge, and he kind of said it, and I'll have him repeat it, about the goals of not setting a goal, but I want in mind, I want you to think about this question, who do I want to be? A lot of times we're like, try to be mentally tough. If you ask yourself, who do I want to be in this race, in this moment, as a spouse, as a husband, as a wife, as a mom, who do I want to be on this podcast, what do I want to represent? Who do I want to be? Know the answer to that question is very important. And then leave with this challenge.
Am I saying the challenge?
If you remember it.
I have no idea what the challenge is.
So, Dory, thank you for joining us. He just talked about...
Wait, first I just want to say one thing. It's a level above that is not who you want to be. It's who do you want to attract in your life and what experiences do you want to have, and then match that so that you will attract and that person in your life, those people in your life, and those experiences in your life. So go, one, figure out who you want to be and what you want to do, but then figure out, okay, what does the opposite person or activity look like that so that I can match that level. And now I'm starting to attract the people in my lives and be that person. I think we can level up and do that as
definitely.
Well.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And so instead of our
New Year's challenge?
Resolutions, no, you said
you
it earlier.
I said it.
Instead of New Year's resolutions.
Oh, today. Sorry.
Yep.
Think of the sacrifices that you're willing to give up.
It was like you framed it that we discussed the challenge beforehand and that I knew what it was.
You created this challenge.
Yeah.
Already it sounded great. It's better than any that I threw out. So,
amazing.
So just think of the things you're willing to give up to become, to do, to evolve, and to find that happy place.
And don't wait until January 1.
Yeah, starts today.
Start now so that everybody listening in this room, January 1 is Momentum Day, not New Year's Resolution.
Like that.
James, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You're wonderful. Sunny, come on in. Come on in. This is our glance. And I'm just going to ask one question to Sunny. What has it... Yeah, because she can hear.
Okay.
Oh, we're good. We're good.
How's this?
We're
going to
improvise.
She's so wise. We just want to hear her.
Yes, and we seriously know the strength and the discipline, and James speaks very highly of Sunny. I know Sunny very well. Super inspiring. Love her to death.
And they could be twins.
And
should be
twins. Yeah. What is it in a word? And we'll get a couple sentences or whatever you want to share to as far as this teamwork. this relationship? Where has it taken you? What has it been as far as the evolution of it? But being a teammate with James, define that for us.
Well, I always tell people we're polar opposites. So when you can look inside yourself and acknowledge that somebody's different than you and that their strengths will balance out your strengths, that makes you unstoppable. So instead of seeing him as somebody different, like, oh, I wish he did things my way, or how come he doesn't, you know, you say, what is he doing differently than I'm doing, and what can I learn from him? And then you offset each other, and you become literally unstoppable.
I love that. Now, just so you know, there's a huge sacrifice that goes into this 100 on her part. You know, she went down the same path of needing the cognitive therapy. I mean, she's all in. And so, I mean, talk about the sacrifices that you've had to make and then coming out of it. Now, what's your, for you, what are you doing for you?
Well, you mean you're in a relationship with a dreamer. Everything goes unexpected. So everything comes on a whim. It's always huge. It's never small. Like, hey, it's just this real little thing. It's always these gigantic schemes, you know, that require a lot of effort. And for us, it's great. He's the dreamer. I'm the implementer. Again, that offsets it great. But for me, I do a really great job at plowing through. So seeing something, problem solving, executing, just hammering it through. And then afterwards, I have to say to myself, now what's happening to me at that expense? You know, what's doing that? And I have to regroup. So with this last challenge, I made an effort along the way to be a little more conscious of my mental wellness and my time and my space. And I had a goal to appropriate more time for myself and find more balance during. None of that worked. So I still came out of it with a big task of healing, and it took a long time. You know, it was a year ago that I told James, I'm like, I'm not good. It's not like I'm depressed or, you know, it's not like that. It's like something inside of me had died, and I had to rediscover it and bring it back to life. So it was last Christmas, actually, that I said to James, I was like, I don't think either of us are good. I don't think that we have done what we need to do to heal from this. So together this last year, we kind of worked together to heal and take time. And I've, you know, set new goals to some vengeance on the last 10 years of.
So tell us what you're doing.
So I want to qualify for Boston. I haven't run a marathon in 9 years, for a long time. So I'm going to marathon April 1st. Boston there. And then.
And she's not just going to qualify. She's going
to. Yeah, I don't want to qualify. I want to blow it out of the water.
Yes.
So my qualifying time is 340. I want to shoot for 320. I'm leaving nothing in
chance.
Nothing. Yeah. It's like I want guts and blood on that road when I run it. And then next year I want.
But on top of all of that, she is the world's greatest mother. We've got five unbelievable kids, and everyone says, man, what's your parenting style? And I'm like, it's all son. Like, this is all her fault. She's done it all. And so inside of that, she is an incredible nurturer, but extremely driven with her physical goals and that. So she balances a lot of things. She balances chaos, she balances the kids, the family, and then her own personal goals and things that she's working towards. So it's remarkable.
They have four daughters and one son.
Yeah. That's why I travel so much.
As a husband, So,
you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. So, August, you're looking at 190. Right.
I didn't even notice.
You didn't notice?
How? And then he's like, look how awesome I look. I'm like, yeah, I don't care.
But he's happier.
I care.
And then, what did he say the other day? I said something like, oh, yeah, I wonder if, like, people think you're hot or something. You know what I mean? Like, to the general public, people comment all the time about how fit stuff is, but, like, to me, this is my soulmate, right? Like, I don't see here, I know what I feel. And so, I mean,
Great answer.
I can get fat again.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I like it better because then he eats stuff that I make. Right now, it's like, regimented. I'm eating alone tonight. He's eating his microwave dinner.
Well, you both look amazing. You've been on a great journey. Thanks for sharing it with us. And, I mean, they're worth following. They're super inspiring, and that wasn't part of the criteria for me to say that. But they just it's great to find people that are real people that are doing great things and showing you that, that any of us can do that. It changes your life.
Of course.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.